Achyuta infallible means Krishna never fails in his affection for his devotee, even becoming the devotee's charioteer. So down Arjuna's doubts, hesitating, he gives many reasons to Krishna. You can see all the different reasons. He doesn't want the kingdom. He's saying, these are my relatives. How can I kill my relatives? I will go to hell. Even if they're aggressors, you can see the six aggressors on the left side. Still, I should not kill them. And we'll read verse 37, 38. Although these men can kill their friends, their hearts so filled with greed, why should we fight since we can see the crime and evil deed? Now, the last section, he's worried about destruction of dynasty, unprotected women, unwanted children, and throwing aside his bow and arrows, the last picture on the top of the right there, he says, I will not fight. So if we forget Krishna, we lament. This first chapter of Bhagavad Gita is called Vishada Yoga, Yoga of Lamentation. Yoga of Lamentation. It's full of lamentation. Arjuna is lamenting. And so we may have these problems in life, but Krishna answer our questions and our problems, and he will help us. Now, those who have come new, if you want to have a book to follow along, then you can raise your hand. We'll supply you. Okay, there's one. Mahamaya wants a book, and this lady wants a book. You can follow along because it's all coming from this book here. Two books they need. Oh, three books. One for Janmashtami. Yeah. Oh, you got one? Okay. Lucky you. And Mahamaya wants a book. Yeah, you can follow along with the book. We're on chapter 2, part... No, we're on chapter 2, part 1, yes. Arjuna's doubts and surrender is the first section. You go down, next picture, please. Bottom arrow. Yes, there we are, chapter 2, part 1. And the first section is Arjuna's doubts and surrender. He's giving some last arguments to Krishna. He says, I'm just going to be a beggar. Better I renounce. And so then he decides to accept Krishna as the spiritual master. You can see the middle picture there where Arjuna is accepting Krishna, surrendering to Krishna, accepting him as a spiritual master. Verse 7, now I'm confused about my duty. Tell what's best for me, your surrendered disciple. To you I bend my knee. So the lesson is to solve the perplexities of life. One must approach a spiritual master. We're learning lessons from Bhagavad Gita as we go. Then the next section is about Krishna's first instruction. The soul is eternal. And you can see the changing bodies from boyhood to youth to old age. And the first instruction Krishna gives in verse 14, first instruction to Arjuna, okay, happiness and distress are coming, but you must learn to tolerate. Chapter 2, part 2, part 1 summary. So the lesson is one who knows you're not the body, if you really know you're not the body, then you'll tolerate. Now we're in chapter 2, part 2, qualities of the soul on the left. The soul is eternal, unborn, and conceivable, cannot be killed. You can see it's just like a change of dress there. If you go down, you can see the different qualities of the soul. Verse 24, the soul is unbreakable, insoluble, not dragged or burned by flame, all-pervading, unchangeable, eternally the same. So you can see the soul in all the different bodies there. All in those, these, each picture, each little picture is one verse of the chapter. On the right side, we have the Kshatriya's Dharma. He's telling Arjuna, as a Kshatriya, you should fight. And if you don't, you will certainly go to hell. Not if you do. If you do fight, you won't go to hell. You can see the Yamadutas dragging somebody there. If you don't fight, and people will laugh. You see the Kshatriya's laughing at Arjuna over there. And so he's telling Arjuna, as a Kshatriya, you should fight. So go to the next picture. Chapter 2, part 3. The Bhuti Yoga is the section on the left. Arjuna is encouraged to engage in devotion, which is never lost in the real purpose of the Vedas. So you can see how in verse, at the end there, verse 45, where he's getting free from the bondage of karma, and then finally the picture on the top right of the left side, Krishna is the ocean, and from the ocean devotees are getting the nectar of his lotus feet. So better go to the ocean than to the small wells of the Vedas. On the right side we have, I'll read verse 44. Now sometimes people, they're attracted by the flowery words of the Vedas. On the left side all the way you can see somebody enjoying their Vedic promises. When sense enjoyment fills the mind and opulence does make one blind, determination one can't find for devotion to God within one's mind. So the second section is how devotional service liberates. You can see everybody in the whirlpool in the middle of birth and death, and devotees on top chanting Hare Krishna are coming out of it. So Krishna is urging Arjuna to engage in devotional service with detachment from the fruits. I'll read verse 50, which is up on the left, with Vishnu saving the devotee. By devotion, you'll be free of good and bad while you're alive. It is the art of all work. Therefore, this yoga strive. It's Krishna's instruction to Arjuna. Okay, next picture, chapter 2, part 4. We've got a higher taste here. You can see this devotee, Mataji, Vaishnavi. She's giving a higher taste to materialistic people, giving some simply wonderfuls. But you see down, there's a bogey yogi there who's trying to meditate, but he's thinking of the objects of the senses. And then he falls down. You can see the sequence of fall down up there, which is from chapter 2 of Bhagavad Gita. And the solution is to have a higher taste. By having a higher taste, then you can control the senses. So I'll read that verse, 59. Yogis artificially stop senses while material taste remains. Devotees get a higher taste, automatically refrains. Yeah, we met Shanka today in the car, and he was saying, I'm free from all material desires now. I'm really happy here, cooking for the devotees. See, I finally made it. And so that's him. If any latecomers want a book, raise your hand and we'll pass a book to you. Oh, you're sharing, okay. All right, so now the next section is samadhi. The second on the right, that's samadhi, what happens when you're in samadhi. If you engage, follow the regulative principles of freedom. And if you don't, then you can do that, you'll get peace, otherwise not. Otherwise the boat, you see the boat on the top, that's one of the senses will take away your intelligence. But in the middle picture is how all these different material desires are coming to the devotee, but he's chanting Hare Krishna, and he's not attached. He's letting them go. So the lesson is, by following the regulative principles of freedom, one can go back to Godhead. So next picture, chapter 3, part 1. We've got the first section on the left, Karma Yoga. Arjuna's confused, should I fight, should I not? And Krishna recommends, better than renunciation, we see a sahajya down in verse 4 with trying to attract Gopi Matajis. And in verse 6 we see a yogi meditating on ladies in his trance. So these artificial yogis, they're trying to stop, but they cannot. As we heard, you need a higher taste. Better, verse 7, here we have a grihastha couple worshipping the deities of Gornitai. Better that. Better to work in devotion than artificially renounce. Work for Krishna. So verse 9, just make your work a sacrifice for Vishnu's satisfaction. Detachment you will gain and freedom from reaction. And that is on the left side, actually. That is sacrifice for Vishnu. And the sage of Kali, chanting the holy names. You can see at the top on the left, the right side thing, but on the top left, they're chanting during Harinam, and they're chanting, and they are pleasing Lord Vishnu. And you can see the demigods in the next verse showering everything upon them, rain and money and everything, just by doing Harinam Sankirtan. Sacrifice for Vishnu. So next picture, chapter 3, part 2. We have work as example. Here we have Maharaj Prataparuja sweeping the road in front of Lord Jagannath, like yesterday's Jagannath Rath Yatra. I think the mayor, he was sweeping the road. I'm not sure. I saw the broom go down. I was on the chariot. The mayor of the city was sweeping the road in front of Lord Jagannath. So that's whatever a great man will do. That's verse 21, the main verse. Other men will follow. That's the lesson to learn. In verse 24, although self-realized souls have no duty, their work to show an example. So Krishna says, if I shunned work, then all the worlds would end in ruination, destroying peace of everyone with unwanted population. So Krishna's getting married there, showing that even God gets married in Dwaraka. He's showing an example how to live in this world. So whatever a great man does, common men will follow. Now the next section is the ignorant and the wise. We see a lot of ignorant people here. Up in the top, there's a materialistic person's planting a tree and devotee's planting a tree, and one's thinking of giving the fruits to Krishna and one's thinking of lots of money to get. So there's different intentions here. And then we see devotees trying to help, but you should not disturb the ignorant. Don't disturb. But encourage him in acts of devotion. So don't advise anyone to artificially renounce, but to dovetail his work for Krishna. So next picture. Chapter 3, part 3. Work for Krishna on the left side, and all the karma, the chains of karma are breaking, and there's devotee book distributors there again trying to help people get free from karma. Then on the left side we have conquering lust. Up in the top right we see the enemy lust eating everyone. Then it goes down just like a fire. As a human being is like a fire covered by smoke, the mirror covered by dust is like animals, and the embryo covered by womb is like trees. And at the bottom you see where lust is sitting, the senses, mind, and intelligence. And how to conquer him? You see in the middle picture, the devotees chanting Hare Krishna, and lust is running far away. So these are the pictures for Bhagavad Gita. Next, chapter 4, part 1. Transcendental knowledge. Knowledge of Krishna is on the left side. And we're seeing different pictures, how the Lord incarnates. The first part where he's speaking Bhagavad Gita to Vivasvan, but the chain is broken, you see it coming down, and then he's going to speak to Arjuna because he's his friend. And then we see how he incarnates. There he is, Devaki's child. He comes as Buddha, and there in the middle, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, bringing the Harinam Sankirtan. So verse 7, whenever and wherever there's decline in true religion, I come to bring true love of God and stop all irreligion. So that is knowledge. And the lesson is that Krishna comes to protect his devotees, kill the demons, and reestablish principles of religion. And one who understands his birth and activities will not take birth again. So the second section is how Krishna satisfies everyone. We see in the middle right, he's the impersonalist. He'll give him the Brahma-jyoti. The materialist, he'll give him things to enjoy. And the devotee, he will give himself. Then on the top, we have Varnashram Dharma. He establishes the Varnashram system according to quality and work. So next, chapter 4, part 2, we have on the left side analysis of karma, and it's really hard. He's holding his head, oh, karma, akarma, so difficult to understand. The highest work, vikarma, akarma. So Krishna explains to Arjuna, what is karma, akarma, and vikarma? You can follow those verses. On the left side, on the right side, we have karma yoga and knowledge. So one who is absorbed in Krishna consciousness while doing his work, unattached to the fruits, goes to the spiritual world. So you see in the bottom, the devotee is going back to Godhead by performing his work. Okay, next, chapter 4, part 3. On the left side, we have sacrifice of knowledge. Different types of sacrifice, the Vedas, and with the fires around you, the yogi, controlling the mind, sacrifice of the mind. sacrifice of grihastha life, brahmacharya life with the mridanga there, and grihastha life. Different kinds of sacrifice are described, but sacrifice of knowledge is the highest. And how to get knowledge on the right side? Guru gives knowledge. Just approach a guru who has seen the truth. Verse 34, approach a guru and learn the truth. Inquire from him submissively and render your service since he has seen the truth decisively. So you see in the middle, accepting the guru. And then if you get knowledge, then you will go on the boat. Of you can see a boat there. That's a boat of knowledge. So I'll read that verse also, verse 36. Even if you're sinful, if you stay in Gita's boat, crossing ocean of miseries very easily, you'll float. So there we have different... Now you see a fire at the bottom. That's the fire of knowledge burning up all your fruits of karma. And this is very pure knowledge. Chanting Hare Krishna. We have a Vaishnavi milking a cow and chanting Hare Krishna is the most sublime of all knowledge. And the lesson is to get a knowledge approach to self-realized guru. Chapter 5, part 1. The first section on the left, karma yoga is best. So Arjuna is again confused. He's asking which is best, renunciation or work and devotion. Krishna answers, both are good, but devotional service is best. So you can see how there's different kinds of renunciation, but ultimately the Gyani starts chanting Hare Krishna over on the left there. There used to be a picture in the old Bhagavad Gita of a yogi meditating on super soul in the heart and a devotee chanting japa, looking at the deities. And they would progress picture by picture, and eventually at the end they both get up and start chanting Hare Krishna. And it meant to show that the super soul meditation is the same as the devotee meditating on the deity in his heart. And so that's also here. This one is cultivating knowledge, but it's equal if his knowledge is directed towards Krishna, then he will be equal to the devotee who's chanting Hare Krishna. And then at the end, they both join in Harinam. On the right side, we have the process of karma yoga. All the senses, like at the bottom, it's just like a lotus leaf untouched by water. If you engage in devotional service, one who works in devotion to Krishna attains peace. One who is greedy for the fruits becomes entangled. So there we see, in verse 7, if Arjuna fights, then he will be beloved by everyone. The devotee is beloved by everyone. Then we have somebody with a skeleton of death behind him. He's worshipping himself on the TV with a chamara. Okay, so we'll go to chapter 5, part 2, next one. Here we have, again, a section on the top left, and that is soul, super soul, and nature. Verse 13 describes that. That will be verse 13. Have to find it. Chapter 6. There it is, yes. Verse 13 would be the top. No, that doesn't describe that. That describes the city of nine gates, so I'll read that verse first. When one controls his nature, no work he creates. In happiness he resides in the city of nine gates. Nine gates are the body, and the devotee is detached, verse 14. Now 15 is showing what happens when somebody desires. Here's a man desiring a wife in a car. And super soul in the heart, he is saying okay, and then material nature is carrying out his desires. So as the soul desires, super soul sanctions and nature supplies. So the super soul is not responsible for reactions to come. It's just a matter of ignorance of the conditioned soul that makes a difference. The next verse, verse 16, you see how knowledge is lighting up the heart of the devotee who is chanting Hare Krishna. Super soul in the heart is taking him to. The super soul can make you forget, and verse 15, or can make you remember. Verse 16 there. Then the bottom section on the bottom and right, that is called Super Soul Meditation. So you can see that how over on the right side, they see equally, the sage sees equally, sees all with equal vision, and you can see different visions of the devotee of Super Soul in these different verses. But the big verse in the top there is the last verse, which is the peace formula. And I'll read that verse 29. Knowing me as the Lord of planets, purpose of all austerities, well-wisher of all living beings gains freedom from all miseries. And so on the left, they're doing austerities. In the middle, he's the Lord of the planets, and he's the well-wisher of everyone. So the lesson is the peace formula. Krishna is the enjoyer, the proprietor, and the best friend. And if you know this, you'll have peace. Verse 5, chapter 5. Chapter 6, part 1, next one. Now on the left side you have neophyte to advanced yogi, and you see in the middle the Ashtanga Yoga, different steps. Yam, yam, asana, pranayam, pratyahara, dharana, dhyana, and samadhi. And for the neophyte, work is recommended, and not to be artificially detach yourself. So a neophyte must do his work, while an advanced practitioner may cease from materialistic work. On the right side, we see how the yogi regulates himself. He goes off into the forest, sits on the kusha grass, controls the mind, sits in asana, meditates on Super Soul in the heart, and regulates himself. It's called regulations of yoga. So I'll read verses 16 and 17, which are pretty much the middle of those two clocks there. You can see the regulation, eating, sleeping, working. For one who is eating, sleep, and work, and pleasure regulated, by yoga practice constantly, all pains are mitigated. So he will be free from all pains if you can regulate yourself. But it does take practice. Prabhupada did say, if you can do this for 12 years, get up early for Mangal Arati, chant, and have a bath early in the morning, and work for Krishna. After 12 years, then whatever you say will be truthful. A very interesting comment by Srila Prabhupada. So regulation means the mode of goodness. When we come to the mode of goodness, then our life is balanced, and we become regulated. Mode of goodness, kijai. So this is the lesson that regulation mitigates all pains. So part two, chapter six, part two, we have the levels of, next picture, levels of practice, different levels. And when one advances in his trance or meditation on Super Soul, he achieves the highest happiness in touch with the Lord within. From where the mind wanders, the yogi must always bring it back under control of the self. So, we have, I think, the mind here. Let me see. This is part two. Yes. The bottom, you have the yogi catching the mind and bringing him. Look at Super Soul here. He's catching the mind. See at the bottom? See, you meditate on Super Soul in the heart. It's the yogi. It's the yogi's catching. We also have to do that, don't we? When we chant our japa. And in 27, he's very happily meditating on Krishna's lotus feet. 2023, actually, that's the top. He's attained samadhi, trance. He's meditating on Radha Krishna in Vrindavan. 24, determination, just like the little sparrow who put the eggs in the ocean, and the Garuda is there to help. So the Lord helps those who help themselves. And on the right side, we have Super Soul Meditation, again, in many different varieties, different verses. And finally, we go up to the top right, and we see that actually, Krishna is Super Soul. Isn't that wonderful? It's not just Shodakshai Vishnu. He's the one who understands that I and the Super Soul are one. He is very advanced. So let's see, we'll read verse 35. Oh, did we have a problem with Arjuna here? Yes, yes. He said, I can't do this yoga. See in the bottom there, he says, the mind is like the wind and trying to capture the wind is like trying to capture the mind. But Krishna says, no, no, it's possible. And that's verse 35. Lord Krishna spoke, to curb the restless mind is a difficult achievement, but it is possible by practice and detachment. And so there he's controlling the mind. And that's the lesson we learn from this section. So we'll go to the next picture, chapter 6, part 3. The unsuccessful yogi is on the left side. Krishna explains that yoga practice is never lost. And his next birth, he'll be in a richer, pious family. You can see there he is in verse 40. He's telling Arjuna, don't worry, you know. When he does good, he's never overcome by evil. And there he's protecting him from the Yamadutas there. That means next life, you will get a chance to succeed in yoga practice. And there we have, being born in a devotee family at the bottom, verse 42, verse 43. And verse 44, he says, even if you're not born in a devotee family, you will be naturally attracted. So here we have a Harinam party, the little kids ready to go and chant and dance. And we have examples like that, I'm sure, when you're out on Harinam. That there's somebody who's naturally attracted, might be the husband, might be the wife, or it might be the kid. His parents are looking, oh no, what is my kid doing now? He's naturally attracted because he's just continuing from his past life. So then on the left, on the right side, we have the topmost yogi. Verse 46, we have the different steps. Krishna is saying, it's better, yoga is better than karma, jnana, ashtanga. Well, yoga is the best, but the best of all is the bhakti yogi. So we'll read what Krishna says. Yogi who will think of me with faith and spiritual love is close to me in yogic bond of all yogis, he's above. So that is Krishna's final proclamation. The lesson is better to be a devotee of Krishna and to try all these other things. So chapter 7, part 1, next picture. Good. We got it now. Krishna is supreme on the left side. And we see verse 3, which is those three levels of people. Out of thousands of men, one may desire liberation. Of those who are liberated, hardly one knows me. So the devotees there on the top. And then he describes next down there, earth, water, fire, air, ether. And at the bottom, the superior energy. And then he said, but even the superior energy, even Vishnu is coming from me. Krishna is actually the source of everything. And you can see that as pearls are strung on a thread in the middle there. See all the different pearls are showing different views of the universe. Verse 7, no truth is above me. Of all beings, I'm the head. All things do rest on me as pearls strung on a thread. So then the next section on the right, Krishna is the essence. So he's the essence of everything. You can see at the top, he's the light of the sun and the moon. And he's the taste of water. And he's the Vedas, the sound in ether. And it goes down, telling about Krishna, how he's the essence. And if you surrender to him, that's actually the very top picture. Then the modes of nature, you can see the different ropes of nature are broken and you go to him in the spiritual. That's the top one there. Top picture on the right. Verse 14. So I'll read 14. These modes belong to me, so they're difficult to flee. Just surrender unto me, easily cross it and be free. So that is that verse 14. Go next, chapter 7, part 2. Now, on the left we have the impious and the pious. So you have the fools and rascals on top there. We've got the donkey philosopher. We've got the ignorant man who's drinking. We've got the sahajiya there who thinks he knows everything. And so these are Naradama, different atheists, lowest of mankind. They don't surrender. Then in the next one on the right, you have this, the pious people surrendering, the curious, the gyani, in distress, the lady in distress, and the one who wants money. Verse 14. Verse 16. And the, of the highest is the gyani. So you see him on the bottom. He's my friend, Krishna says. After many births, you see that blue cloud. Many, many births. After many births, he surrenders to me, knowing me to be the cause of all causes and all that is. So then on the bottom, we have demigod worshippers and impersonalists, showing how it's all temporary, but there's a devotee on the bottom and he's going to Krishna. The demigods, those who worship demigods will go to the planets of demigods. One who worships me will go to me. But for the impersonalist, he is also unknown. At the bottom, he's covered by Maya for the ignorant people, Yoga Maya. Then the top right section is freedom from bewilderment. Pious men whose sins are finished, free from duality, serve Krishna with determination. So I'll read verse 26 from there. As Supreme Lord, I know everything, future, present, past as well. I know all living beings, but of me, no one can tell. So that's Krishna. Nobody knows him. Now we're going to go to chapter 8, part 1, which is about attaining the Supreme. At the time of death, what is the destination of different people? At the beginning, Arjuna has questions. They're answered by Krishna. What is this material manifestation? What is karma? Krishna is answering Arjuna's questions. And finally, in the middle, bottom, remembering Krishna, it's called. So Krishna recommends Arjuna fight at the same time, think of him. And in all the purports of chapter 8, not almost all, 17 times, Prabhupada says how to remember Krishna is by chanting Hare Krishna. And many times he puts the full mantra. Sometimes he just says, chant Hare Krishna. So that's why in verse 8 we have put the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, since Prabhupada has emphasized it as the means to achieve Krishna. And we can see here on the verse 6, which is the right of the lady, there's somebody remembering a deer, whatever you think of, then you will attain. I'll read that verse. Whatever one will think of when his body he will quit, the thought will always stay with him and he will attain it. So then verse at the bottom, he's thinking of Krishna. And he's becoming a gopi and going back to Godhead. Now on the right side we have Yoga Misha Bhakti. How the yogi also goes back to Godhead. If he thinks of Super Soul, he chants Om, thinking of Krishna, he can go to Krishna. He chant, but usually they don't go to Krishna unless they have good devotee association. So the lesson is one's thoughts of death determine one's next destination. And remembering means chanting Hare Krishna. So part two, that's part two, the next one. This is pure devotional service is out the top right, surrendering to Krishna, always thinking of Krishna. And then they are Mahatmas, and you can see verse 15, they don't go back to this material world again. She's saying, no, I'm not going back. No, verse 15. And verse 16, playing with Krishna Balaram, no more birth. So I will read something here. Let's see. Krishna devotees never return to this fleeting world of pain. Enjoying highest happiness, there is no greater gain. 15. Then at the bottom, you can see how there's always eternally creation and destruction. There's the night, there's the day when everybody is being destroyed. But above that is the spiritual world, verse 22, 21. Verse 21, where Krishna, Radharani and Krishna, Krishna Balaram, Krishna and his cows are. So the lesson is to be free from this miserable material world. One must think of Krishna, go to him, and never come back. So this is the material and spiritual worlds here at the bottom, and telling the difference. I'll read verse 21. That world is called infallible, where there is never lack, and one who goes to my abode will never come back. So that is verse 21. Now, on the right side, we have devotional service includes all. So there's so many different times you see departing in the night, departing in the day, yogi. But the devotee doesn't worry because Krishna takes care of it. And at the end, all the things that are we try to learn in this world, it's all included in devotional service. Varnashram is included, and all the Vedas are included. I read verse 27. Devotees who know these two paths are never in confusion, so always fix yourself in loving devotion. Chapter 9, Part 1. Bhagavad Gita, 9 chapters in 1 hour. Well, we did 12 cantos last time, so it's only 700 verses. So now we have chapter 9, Most Confidential Knowledge. And the first part here, 3 verses, are the king of knowledge. So verse 1, Krishna is telling Arjuna, I will give you this knowledge because you are not envious of me. And you can see, what is that knowledge? We've got the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra there, surrounding that picture. I'll read verse 2. This knowledge is most pure of all education, the king. Religious perfection, the path of joy, gives realization everlasting. So we have all kinds of people chanting Hare Krishna, the Jnani, the philosopher, the Kshatriya, the Shudra, the Vaishya, the woman, the child, everybody's chanting Hare Krishna. And this is the most confidential knowledge. Now verse 3, some people don't want to. Here you have a boy and his girlfriend who has the face of death. Don't go to the Hare Krishnas. Go to me. Go to death. Come back to this material world. And that's the path. If you don't follow this, then your path will not be very happy. So Achintya Beda Beda Tattva on the right side, how Krishna is simultaneously here and not here. He's all-pervading in verse 4, and he's in everyone's heart, but he's in the spiritual world enjoying. He's not here. He's here in his all-pervasive form. So that's showing how everything's created, destroyed, but he is up in his transcendental kingdom. So in verse 10, I'll read verse 10, how he is actually up there and controlling, but without any problem. This great material nature is under my direction, producing all beings in creation and destruction. So although he's maybe everywhere in this world in one way or another, in Goloka he's personally present. He's here by his energies. He's here by his devotees. He comes sometimes, as we heard in chapter 4. But he has his own abode where he simply enjoys. Okay, chapter 9, part 2. First section is devotees and non-devotees. And we have the donkeys up there who are criticizing Krishna when he comes in his beautiful form as a child. Verse 12, what happens to them? No good karma, no knowledge, no liberation. Because his conclusion is, I am God. So what will you get? Verse 12. So 13, we have the Mahatma serving Krishna, and Radharani is protecting Raghunath Das Goswami here. And Krishna will take care of his devotees. And then we have the devotees in verse 14, worshiping the Lord. Always chanting my glories, worshiping me, serving, here it is, always chanting my glories, serving with determination, bowing down before me, worshiping me without cessation. So that's the devotees. Verse 15, on the left side we have different paths, indirect paths, the Brahman on the top, the demigods in the middle, universal form on the bottom. And on the right side is universal form. How Krishna is everything there in the universal form. He's the fire, he's the mother, the father. He is everything. He, in all aspects, he's there. The goal, the support, the mother, the father, death and eternal life, the rain and the sun. He's all of these aspects that we see, all the Vedas also. So chapter 9, part 3, we have one section, demigod worshippers and devotees. So on the left side, we have worship in the modes. Somebody's in the mode of ignorance, he's worshipping ghosts. You see that white ghost there? And he's going to go there to the land of the ghosts. Then at the top, we have Lord Shiva. That's more demigod worshippers. He will go to Lord Shiva. And then the mode of passion, he's worshipping beings of this world. That's on the left side. And the bottom right, there's the devotee. And the devotee will come to me. He's worshipping Radha Krishna. Now, verse 24, what happens to these other ones, they may fall down into the ocean of birth and death. But the devotee will reach Krishna. The Vedas, verse 20 and 21, those who worship the Vedas, they go up, but they come down again. So that's not a very happy life. Verse 23 is showing Lord Shiva, you worship the demigods, but actually they are given by me alone. The fruits are given. So the next chapter 9, part 4, pure devotional service. And we see the nice Vaishnavi up top on verse 26. If one offers me a fruit, a flower, a leaf, or water, I will accept it. Pure devotional service. So he claims all being as his children, but for the devotee, he has very special care. We see verse 27, the house couple worshiping, and then down in the right bottom corner, we have how Supersoul is everyone's heart, and he's equal to everyone, but for a devotee, he's a friend. I'll read that verse 29. I am equal to all, I'm in everyone's heart, but my devotee is my friend, from him I'll never part. So then we have, if we go to the left, the devotee couple, their karma is being finished. And verse 30, we see a devotee here. He's not doing the right thing. He's gambling, having illicit sex, drinking, intoxication, meat eating. He's breaking all the four regular principles. But somehow he can't forget Krishna, so Krishna's got him by the sika. And he's going to pull him somehow or other. He'll make him remember and not forget. Somehow or other, he's going to bring him back to Krishna consciousness. Even though he wants to go away, he can't. Krishna, like a Jamila, Krishna didn't let him go away. And so that is Krishna's mercy to the devotee. Always think of me, top picture on the left, verse 34. So if anybody wants to keep a book, you can keep it, and you can give $20 for it. And if you already have it, you can return it. Or if you want a book, we have perhaps more here. Any questions or comments? Yes, Prabhu.
Madhavani, you nicely described and covered a tremendous amount of activity that goes on in, like, the Vedic sphere.
Yeah.
But you kept saying over and over again that devotees just chanting Hare Krishna, devotees just chanting Hare Krishna. And they're like, devotees can accomplish all that can be done in the whole Vedic sphere just by chanting Hare Krishna?
Well, I don't say that. Krishna says that. If you read the last verse of chapter 8, and he lists everything that can be accomplished by the Vedas, and he said, but if you simply do devotional service, so in this age, devotional service, that's the Yuga Dharma, is chanting Hare Krishna. Of course, we can expand that to reading Bhagavatam, to serving. I mean, end of chapter 9, it says, always think of me, become my devotee. So become my devotee means we can do so many things besides chanting. But without chanting Hare Krishna, then it will be very difficult to achieve the goal. So in the five most potent forms of devotional service, we find chanting Hare Krishna is one of them, but it's also connected with each one of them at the same time. Chanting and hearing is connected with deity worship, living in holy place, associating with devotees, and reading Bhagavatam is also kirtan, and chanting Hare Krishna. So that's why Prabhupada emphasized it so much in chapter 8, and that's why you put it in the pictures. Because he, in the purports, he's emphasizing it. So the pictures, a lot of them, they're a combination of the verse and purport. many of the verses. So we wanted people to get that idea to chant Hare Krishna when they read Bhagavad Gita, because it will help you to understand Bhagavad Gita too. The two go together, chanting Hare Krishna and reading the scriptures. Prabhupada once said that if you chant Hare Krishna, you'll be happy, and by reading the scriptures, you'll be convinced. So that is, then we put that in. We discuss each and every verse, how to show it. Any other questions? Yes, she has a question.
Hare Krishna, thank you. I believe it was in the chapter 2 that one of the lessons was basically if we follow the four regs, then we go back to Godhead.
If we follow the four regs, we'll be peaceful.
Okay, I just wanted to clarify that because I thought it was the regulation brings happiness, but then I thought there was something in relation to exactly following the four regs, which is kind of, I was under the impression that's kind of just
there's more to it than that. There's more to it than that. But we'll be peaceful if you follow. That's what it says there. Without regulation, there won't be peace of mind.
Okay, I was talking about the four regulative principles.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is kind of different. Like, that's different than just having a regulated lifestyle. That's, like, easier and just not being an animal. Like, four regs.
What I understand is Prabhupada probably did mention them in the purport. So that's probably why we think of that too. When we think of regulations, then we think, okay, that's what I have to I have to not do that, something not to do, something to do. There's positive and negative regulations.
Okay.
Yeah. So both of them will help us. Okay, any other questions? Yes, in the back. Yeah. In this side. Oh, is there a question on this side too? Oh, I didn't see you. Okay. And then after him will be Rangavachi.
Hare Krishna. I was just wondering if you could explain. Chapter 6, Krishna goes through and explains in a lot of detail the yoga system, and then it's rejected. What is the point of all that description if it's going to
the
be
point,
rejected?
The point of all the description is because that's what Arjuna wanted to do instead of fight. He said, I want to renounce, go to the forest of Krishna. Okay, you want to renounce? This is what you have to do. Sit on the Kusha grass, regulate, control your mind. Now, Arjuna realized, no, I can't do that. Krishna had to show him that, okay, you want to do this? You want to renounce? You want to go to the forest like the yogis? Okay, do this. Then you can do that. He said, but better you think of me and work and fight. So Arjuna realized it himself. If Krishna just said, you can't do that, then Arjuna would say, why not? Kind of reverse psychology.
So nowadays, it's very popular. People are showing interest in yoga, but it's more hatha yoga. So this chapter can be used to explain to them that they won't be very successful in achieving peace.
Well, the thing is, their idea of success is a healthy body and better material life. So first we have to explain to them what's the goal of yoga. They don't know. They don't know very much. Peace. I mean, I go to the yoga classes too for health. And it ends with peace, 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 shanti, shanti, shanti. Peace to the world. So that's kind of like the highest goal that they strive for, is to be a better person, be peaceful, control your mind to a certain extent. But of course we know that it's very different. Arjuna said, and he was a very powerful person. He probably could have done it. But he said, I can't do it. And he had much better opportunity to do it. Okay, any other questions? Oh, yes, Rangavati has a question.
And chapter, text number 29.
Of which chapter?
29, 9-4. I am equal to all.
Yeah.
I'm in everyone's heart.
Yeah.
But my devotee is my friend. From him, I'll never part.
From him, yeah.
So it's always been confusing. Paramatma never leaves any living entity, whether it's a fly, a mosquito,
he never leaves. Yeah.
But yet, it's he's saying here, I'll never leave. Is that a different
thing? Yeah, as a friend. I mean, that's a good point, that he'll never part from anyone. But with a devotee, it's a personal relationship. So in that sense, he will never part from him. Of course, he's a friend to them, but they don't appreciate it. And other, the mosquito and the bug and the non-devotees, they don't appreciate how Krishna will never part from them. But the devotee, he will appreciate in a higher sense that I have a friend, and the friendship will be eternal. So I was thinking it was like in a higher sense there, that he'll never part as a friend. Of course, it's right. He'll never part from anyone. That's true. Very good point. Very good point. Thank you for that. Any other questions? Okay. Yes, Shesha Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. So you were also mentioning about a higher taste.
Yeah.
Is the fact that we say that you can renounce by having a higher taste, is that some kind of sort of like a concession or something, and real renunciation springs from something else, or is that where what actual renunciation is having a higher taste?
Well, it's not a concession. It's just what happens when you have a higher taste. Then automatically you're not attracted to the lower taste. So renunciation in the sense of renouncing the lower taste happens automatically when you have a higher taste. Like a child, he will have his toys, toy car, the girl will have a toy doll. When they grow up, then he renounces the toy car in favor of a real car. So now we have the real relationship, we have the real love, and we renounce it, and we renounce the false love and the false things of this world, the false car, and the toy car, and we have the real thing. Nothing in this world can satisfy us like our relationship with Krishna. And until we find that relationship, then we will suffer. Like Arjuna was lamenting in the first chapter, because he was thinking, how will I enjoy if I do this, if I fight, I can't enjoy, I won't be happy. He was forgetting Krishna's pleasure. Any other questions? Jai, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Wednesday we'll continue with the second half, last 9 chapters of Bhagavad Gita at a glance. I'll go to you, Prabhupada. If you already have the book, you can pass it back, and if you want the book, you can give $20 for the book.